Wonder what her name is. Lord, we just thank you for another good night tonight. We bless your, bless you, Lord, and love you. Want a whole lot more of you. Father God, I thank you for the prayers that have been answered and the ones that are going to be answered. Because we know that when we pray in faith, and we just believe, Lord, that whenever we do pray, we are a mouthpiece, and you always back us up. Thank you, Lord, for guiding us and leading us tonight into new revelations, Lord. Bring us into that realm of a mind renewed by Christ. And Lord, we just thank you so much for your word that shares with us all the standards that you want us to live by, Lord. I thank you for all of my friends all across the globe here, my brothers and sisters. I ask, Lord, that you bless them mightily with your word and with your love and your grace and your mercy. And Father, we just praise you that each and every one of us find that niche that you have just for us. You want us all to walk like you, Lord, and to talk like you, and to act like you. And we thank you, Father, that you gave us the wherewithal to learn and to get in the word and to study and understand what it is to walk like you, Lord. And we know your Holy Spirit is the one that's leading us and guiding us and teaching us the things from your word, Lord. Place it in our heart to have nothing else distracted us from doing that in the days that we're in. And I thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to accomplish in us tonight. Let it be a blessing to everyone, Lord. And I ask and I pray, Father, for your blessings upon this, my brothers and sisters here. We've come to know each other in ways that bring us all into one accord, and that one accord is you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to accomplish in us tonight. And open up our eyes and our ears to hear and to see the truth from your word, Lord. And I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, we got any prayer requests tonight? Anybody else want to pray? I'm going to pray. Can I pray? Ooh. Lord, I lift up Ryan to you. I thank you, Father, that yesterday I was able to impart your power in through him, Lord, into him, because I know that you, through your spirit, put your healing power to work in him, Lord. Not only that, you've opened up his eyes and his ears to see and to understand the word like he's never has before, Lord. And I come against that symptoms of the things that they have cursed him with. In the name of Jesus, I command every one of you spirits of infirmity come off of him right now in the name of Jesus. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus, the name that's above all names, you come off Orion right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for placing strength in him, supernatural strength in him, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And I command his appetite to come back in the name of Jesus. I command his digestive tract to be healed in the name of Jesus. I command his liver to be whole in the name of Jesus. I command everything that the devil has stolen from him be replaced right now in Jesus' name. Devil, put it back in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I believe it. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request? Yeah, Pat.
Yeah, I'd like to tack on to that prayer for Ryan. Father, would you reveal in Ryan just the whatever hindrances of thought that would tend to hinder and bind your word from flowing freely in him and from faith, from taking hold or from starting. We just stand against those thoughts, those specific thoughts, Lord. I don't know Ryan. I have no idea what he's thinking, but you do, Lord, you know exactly what he's thinking. And we just ask that you would open up his eyes and just give him an enlightenment as to what the cause and effect of those thoughts are in his mind and in his heart. And we bind those thoughts right now. We command that they be revealed to Ryan and he see them for what they are, and that he in his way cast them down and refuse to agree with them in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for the power of your word, your truth, to prevail over the darkness that binds us and binds all those that are victims of that. So we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for the deliverance that you're providing him even right now in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. Amen.
Amen. Praise you, Lord. I got some good news, too. I just got off the phone with Tiffany. She called me about something else, and I was asking her, I said, well, how Ryan did? She said, oh, I said, he slept all night long last night. I had prayed that he would. And he only woke up one time, she said. Generally, he just up and down, up and down, up and down. But he slept good last night. And yesterday, the doctor called him while I was there and suggested that he go for another round of chemo. And I just shut my ears out to all of that. I didn't want to hear any of that garbage. And I was meditating on it, and I said, Lord, don't let him do that. You know, don't let him do that. And I thought he was going to do it because I was told after that he was going to have to go through some more chemo. I said, it didn't work the first time. Matter of fact, it spread it. I said, there's no sense in going through that again. This while ago, Tiffany, I said, what about Ryan? She said, well, he asked the doctor. He told the doctor, he said, it didn't do anything the first time you tried it. I'm not going to go through it again. So praise the Lord. Glory be to God, you know. So he's going to, I don't know what he's going to do at this point. I don't know what they've suggested, but I'm just believing God. That's all I'm going to do. I'm going to focus on God, shut my ears to everything else. And that's what Tiffany's doing too. I said, are you praying for him? She said, yeah. I said, it's irritating too. I said, well, no, that's the demon in him. He's got to go too. So, yeah, it's good. It's all good right now. And it's going to stay that way. Amen. All right. Anybody else? That devil is beat. Go ahead, Theo or Lana.
Hi, everybody. I just had a praise report. So I went back to the gym finally after a couple months, and my low back is really weak. And sorry, there's not much light, is there? My low back is really weak, and it's been in pain. So I'm just going back to strengthen it. And of course, I'm believing that the Lord is going to do a mighty work. I went to a chiropractor. And before we had the x-ray done, I told Lana, I was like, it's going to be straight and true in the name of Jesus. And And when he did it, it was literally like a T, like perfect. My hips and my back were just perfect. Amen. He saw nothing wrong with it. So, I mean, right now it's a little sore, but it's going to be gone. It's going to be good. But anyway, so the next praise report, I went to the gym and my membership was expired. And I was like, I can't buy another membership. I just, I'm not in a position to do that. And I was like, man, this is not good. The guy's like, you know what? Go ahead and work out today. You'll be fine. And we'll figure something out down the road. So before I left the gym that day, and I worked out like it was my last day there. I mean, I did everything I possibly could think of just to use up the day well. And then the lady came up to me and said, you know what? We're going to give you a free month of membership just so you could, you know, we don't want to lose you. So, you know, just work out the whole month and it's on us. I was like, wow, crazy father, crazy father. And then it gets better. So the next day I go back because I'm on free time. I'm going there every day. You know, I want to use up every day I can on this free membership. I bump into some old friends that I haven't seen in years. And they're from my, like a way past church that we used to go together with. And they no longer attend any Russian churches. And they're just like, there's nothing there. There's no power. There's no faith. They let demons run rampant. And he was saying things like soul ties and, you know, Jezebels. And he had all these key words that you don't hear from typical Slavic churchgoers, you know? And I was like, wow, these guys are, you know, leaning towards full gospel. So I got reunited with them. We're chit-chatting. We're fellowshipping together. Praise the Lord. And that was on borrowed time. Like when I ran out of money, grace kicked in and then things started happening. So
amen.
Thank you, Lord. After another. I was like, Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I love it.
So, yeah. Amen. Amen. He's showing himself strong.
What? Oh, you want to say it? Okay. Another one. We have another praise report about Lana. We went to see the doctor one final time. And just like we claimed, she's perfect in the name of Jesus. Nothing, we don't go back. Gabe's not going back. They let us cancel all the appointments that Kansas City had for him. Not even a question asked. Just one praise after another. So, yeah, this kid was good to go. Just had his bath.
Hey, boy. Hey, Gabe, what's up, boy?
Lana's doing great. We're all doing Amen. Great.
Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Praise God forevermore. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
All right. I like them kind of praise reports. Yeah. All right. Anyone else? Lord, I thank you for blessing Phil and Lana. They've been through a terrible trial here. But, Lord, your grace is even more abundant than that. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. All right, we command that pain to go out of Tracy's stomach right now in the name of Jesus. You go in the name of Jesus. You can't stay. You're not allowed there. Go now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. You're healed, Tracy. All right, go ahead, Isaac. We can't hear you. Cannot hear you.
How about that?
Oh, yeah.
How about
That's better.
Okay. Yeah, we're using a phone today. All right. Hey, I want to, tack on to your prayer there, Michael, about Ryan, and then I want to give a prayer support, too. I'm just going to say this. Lord, I thank you. The Lyme symptoms, you go. You're gone. In Jesus' name, go. Thank you, Father. And I'll give a praise report. Yesterday, I went out cast netting for some fishing. You know, I wanted to bring home a good fish for dinner. Anyways, we're over here in Sarasota, so we went to like one of the nearest docks. There's a lot of mangroves and whatnot. And there's like four docks to go out, and they're like boat ramps. So I was cast netting, and, you know, I'm not a pro at it. It's kind of difficult. Every now and then I have a good throw, and then quite a few is not so good. But, you know, it's practice. Anyways, I was like, oh, man, there's some black mullet because they're jumping up and down. And I threw that cast net out, and then it opened up so nice. I said, oh, buddy, here comes dinner. And then the whole thing slipped off my hand and the rope, and it went about 10, 15 foot in the water, and it sunk to the bottom. And I said, okay. I said, well, Israel, we got to go back to the car. We're going to have to, you know, this ain't cheap. We're going to have to go and get the fishing pole and reel that guy back in. So we took off running. And I said, Jesus, thank you for getting that out of there. And it was nighttime. You know, we couldn't see it. I mean, there really wasn't even any stars in the sky. It pretty much had overcast. And so we ran, jumped, grabbed a fishing pole and back truck, ran back. And when we got back, it only took 30 seconds to get that fishing pole back. There was a boat there. Now, there wasn't a boat there before. And I'm telling you, there was not a boat there. And it was that simple little prayer. And I had my LED on my phone. I'm looking for that thing, that cast net in the water. And this guy walks over, and the boat comes over, and he said, can I help you? I said, well, you know, I threw my cast net out there. And he said, well, if I had a dollar for every time I'd done that, I'd have been a rich man. I said, okay. And I said, would you mind helping me out? And so he let me jump on his boat. He got it, but then it was too far away, so then he went out a little bit. And he had a pole with him, had a hook on it, and so he fished it up for me. And I said, okay, man, I really appreciate it. And it was just amazing that it was nighttime, it was late like that. I got to talking to him. He said, you know, I'm usually out a lot later in this. He said, but just this night, tonight, so I told him, I said, you know, God put you here, man, because me and the son, we prayed and believed. And he said, it's funny you say that because I had a family obligation today. So I had to get, leave a little bit early. It was just amazing how it worked out. And I got my cast net back, and it was just really built my faith. And I don't want to take too much time, but I want to say this also. So I've been having some trials come my way. You know, been persecuted. But, man, I tell you what, I kid you not when I say this, I've had such great peace with it all. And I'm just, you know, it don't even bother me. And, you know, my mom's kind of been hard on me here lately. I just kind of take it with a grain of salt, give her a hug when she needs one, take a beating here and there, tell her I love her anyways. And it's just been really great. And so, you know, her car broke down last night, and I helped her get it up. Alternator belt broke, so I said, well, let's just jump your battery, get you enough energy or enough juice in that battery to get you home. So we were able to do that. And you know, the big thing I'm trying to get to is really been walking in love. And it's not of myself, it's a gift from the good Lord. You know, and the word says, you know, love covereth the multitude of sins. Well, last night I go to sleep, and I had an awesome dream, but I won't go too deep into it. I sent it to David this morning. And long story short, it was about the trials and the end of the world coming, and it's like concentration camps and just big, huge piles of you know, bones and dead people walking. And these were literally skeletons and famines. And these were people that were yet alive, but they were skeletons. And they're in these concentrations, like worse than anything in World War II, like worse than Warsaw. And I was all third person. And at one point in this dream, I became first person, and I stepped out of line of the, because it was a POW camp, and I stepped out of line to the right. And everywhere I walked, there was a bottle on the ground, like one of the squeeze containers of mustard and ketchup. And everywhere I'd go, I went to this one building. I walked up the first flight of stairs, mustard and ketchup. And I'd take them, and I'd start with the mustard first, and I'd eat it. And then I'd go with the ketchup. And the Lord showed me, and he woke me up, that the mustard, that's that faith. And that ketchup, that's a fruit, you know? And you produce faith, or you speak that faith, you know? And you're also producing fruit at the same time. Second floor, same thing. Third floor, same thing. Mustard and ketchup, both the same sequence. And on third floor, it didn't have a roof over my head. It was just an open heaven. And it was an awesome dream. I thank God for it. Well, here's the real crazy part. I wrote that dream down. About 30, 40 minutes later, I went back to sleep. And then Jesus came to me. I seen Jesus. And he was huge. He was, I don't know, 8-9 foot tall. And he was massive, broad shoulders. And he's wearing that baseball cap, that same one that dream I told you where he defeated all that flesh trying to attack him. And he was facing the east and spun it behind his back. And Jesus looked, he was looking at me. He told me something. He told me a message about that dream I just had. He said, like I say, he was huge, muscular, broad shoulders, looked like Theo working out, you know? And so he said, you have to give fuel to get fuel. I said again, you have to give fuel to get fuel. And so basically that's what he told me. And then later on, I woke up again. And I had a vision. I'm thanking God for this because they're at this is a vision. I was come to a T of the road. The road stopped, and there was a T there. And I seen a sign on the left, a street sign, and it said I Genesis. And that was a street sign name. And I tell you, just the Lord did amazing things last night, and it just really increased my faith. And I just wanted to share that and thank God for it. And that's why I also wanted to pray that prayer, Ryan, because increased faith, and I'm hooking up with you guys, and I'm believing, and that's about it. Thank you for your time.
Amen. You're going to write that down, send it in, aren't you?
Yes, sir. I wrote it down. It's pretty lengthy, and I sent it to David probably a few hours ago, maybe 3 or 4.
All right.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Awesome. That is a good one. Amen. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Joe.
Michael, I'm going to pray that this is just the last few days. It's the power is about load shedding. This is getting serious now, but up to 3 times a day, 2 to 3 hours a day. I'm not sure why it's all this and things, but we just have prayer for that, please. Okay, all agree, please. This is getting bad now.
Got okay, that.
Joe, can you repeat that? Did you say something about blood shedding?
Load shedding. Load shedding.
Can I help? Can I?
Yeah.
Load sharing.
So in South Africa, the load shedding is getting really bad, and it's like every 2 or 3 hours, and you can imagine what that does to food and transportation and all kinds of things. So if we can all just agree with Joe that this load shedding is going to stop.
Amen.
What are you saying? Blood shedding?
No, load, like a load, like a truck load, but instead it's electricity.
It's the power grid in South Africa.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I got you now. Okay.
So what are they doing? Are they shutting it down? Is that what you're saying?
No, there's what's happening in South Africa is that there's the demand is so high that whenever any of the power stations or too many of them go down for maintenance, they have to shed the load of the grid, right? So they have these planned outages. Or most of the time unplanned, I suppose. And so now what's happening is so many of these power stations are going offline and the new ones are not coming online quick enough, or, you know, there's all sorts of problems with that. And that's been going on since 2006 or something like that. So there's been this kind of different stages where it's been bad, and now it's bad again. So they've got frequent times where they have to shed the load where the national grid can't keep up with the demand because there's too many of the coal power stations that's down for maintenance and whatever else.
Okay. Well, Lord, we just thank you that you're going to get the government's hand off of it. in the name of Jesus, it sounds like a control mechanism anyway to me. And Father, we just thank you that the load comes from you for your people in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that when everybody else has no electricity, that your people has electricity because they believe, Lord, that you're going to furnish it in the name of Jesus. And I ask and I pray, Father, that you bring down the deep state in this country in the name of Jesus and put somebody in there that's got some responsibility. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And I believe that I've read some things about that that's fixing to happen also over there. Lord, we just praise you and we glorify you for the work that you're doing in South Africa to bring your people into faith and the truth. I'm talking about all of the churches over there. Bring them into the truth of the gospel. And it's an opportune time for your people to get out and evangelize and let them know, Father, about this in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. You're an awesome God, Father. I command those loads. It sounds to me, now I don't know, it sounds to me like a Biden thing because he shut down coal running plants and around here too. So I don't know if that's what's happening over there. They're trying to do this eco green garbage. Amen. Lord, we just ask that you be the generation, the generator for Joe and all of your people over there in Jesus' name. Amen. Supernaturally, people are going to say, how come you got lights and I don't? Because I know my Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, everybody.
I don't know the situation over there, and I'm just, yeah, bad planning. That's what I believe it is, too. A lot of corruption and no planning. Okay. Anyone else? Amen. No bloodshed. Well, right now, anyway. Praise the Lord. Yeah, Andrew.
Well, I have a
praise
report. My son came over today for a visit. He's finalizing his baptism. He's excited about this. He's reading Romans chapter 6. Getting all the information down, brings back memories way back. I even have a picture of my baptism on a counter here so that I could look at it every once in a while to remind me. And it's still, people are in a different cycle and in a different place, you know, and I'm just happy that this is happening. Of course, you have to register to go to this church because they have to track you and stuff. So he related some information that this church does believe in the supernatural and stuff. So I don't know if he knows what tongues is, but I mentioned it and he said, "Well, yeah, they believe in stuff like that there, healings and stuff." So. It's going to be a long time since I stepped in a church. I don't know what kind of denomination it is, but anyways, I'll have to look at it. I'll see on Sunday anyway. So praise God and thank you, Father. It's been a long time waiting for this, and thank you so much, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. How was lunch? Okay. Praise the Lord. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Julie.
Andrew, are you going to his baptism? Are you going to be there?
Yeah, I'm going to be there. Like, his My ex-wife might be there too, with her new husband. But he's going to come and pick me up and take me there.
So that's awesome.
It's awesome. Interesting. So
praise the Lord. Yeah. It's going to be a good day, Andrew.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it because it's finally someone to talk to too. You know, like even though he's at an innocent level there, but he's learning things faster than I did anyway. So that's really good. Praise God.
Hey, did you give him a sovereign God to start him out on?
No, I gave him a copy of the Bible, the Numeric English New Testament. And,
oh, okay.
I gave him the site and he gave me some warnings about what some of the people consider what I'm in. Of course they tell us we're in a cult or something, so you know the rest of the family's kind of, you know, not too close there. But as far as I know, I'm going. And if the other people, he's going to say, if these guys are, for the other people he invited, if you're too uncomfortable coming, that's up to you too. You know? So I was kind of hoping my daughter would show up too, but she might not. She might change her mind. It's still up to the Lord. Anyway,
did you see what Julie put down there? Said, Lord, let him come up out of the water filled with the Holy Spirit, new tongues. Hallelujah to the Lamb.
Actually, we talked a bit about that. I said, it's just a heavenly language, you know, that you get, you know. And sometimes people come up out of the water and that happens.
Amen.
He's never seen it before, so it'd be very interesting then. Very interesting, I must admit. It would be. Oh, yeah. Praise God.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead, Samuel.
Sorry, just putting things off. Thank you. We'd like to get some prayer for our son David to come out, just to come out now and have no pain for Tiana. And we're just really expectant on our son to be born into this world and be a testimony of our faith. And, you know, just we want prayer that David would come out now. That's all. Please.
Amen. Amen. Lord, he's already prayed it. We believe with him. Come out, David, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it, Father. There. Get ready, Tiana. Get in position, girl, because he's coming. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that, Tiana and Samuel. Come on out, David. He's ready to meet the world. Glory to God. Amen. I'd be glad to see him too. Another one. Good gracious sakes alive. We're getting a bunch of kids in here. Geneva, where's Geneva?
I'm here.
Oh, there's your iPhone. That's right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yes. Thank you, Jesus, that Tiana is going to have an awesome delivery and an awesome birth. Lord, this baby is going to be so healthy and so blessed and just going to come right out, Father, and no issues, Lord, no complications. Yep. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that it's going to be all joy. And just like your word, 1 Timothy 2:15, that we will be saved in childbirth because we continue in faith and love. So thank you, Lord, for protecting her and her husband and this baby. And it's going to be perfect. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Ooh, my. Yeah, Ryan.
I want to add to that. And Lord, I come against any doubt or fear and anxiety in that might linger around Samuel and Tiana or anybody that's here today, Lord, that all that remains is the body of believers that agree. And if we agree, it is done. We thank you, Lord. We praise your holy name for those contractions coming now, and we welcome them, Lord, and we thank you, Father. It's time to go, and we agree with that. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, we agree with Rion that the contractions are on Tiana, not on anybody else. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, read the fine print. Sorry.
Amen. Oh, my. Yeah, there you go. Julie says spiritual contractions for the man child. That's right. Amen. Oh, that's awesome. Thank you, Lord, for your love. All right. Anyone else? All right. I was wondering. Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
Before we get started, I just wanted to mention to Andrew, if you get around to it, or if the Lord opens up a path, it might be good to share with your son about the wilderness. I know there was, just in the apostate churches, they look at the wilderness as a negative thing, and that thing to be avoided, get around it or jump over it and shoot right into the promised land. And so just the misunderstanding of what God uses that wilderness for in our lives. And some of the, David has some amazing teaching on it. And I've only listened to the audio version. I just scanned through, and I think that there's a book. He's got a book on it. But I'm not sure if the book coincides with the teaching that he had on the audio version or whatever, but the book is Fear Not the Wilderness. I don't know if it's the same concept or same teaching or whatever, but just the thing that one point that that David brought out in there that was kind of the first thing that hit me is that the wilderness is obviously is not a place that where you're going, a physical place or physical circumstances that you can go into the wilderness. Immediately, the moment you believe God's word and you hang on that and you trust in that and you shun the ways of man in whatever particular truth it is or whatever, and you enter into that wilderness. And I know that that's a concept in the apostate church that is just they're totally void of, and they avoid it like the plague and therefore enter into the plague into their lives. But anyway, so I just, when you were talking there of his new start and fresh start and everything, that would be a good concept to wrap his brain around, the first initial getting wet type of scenario. There would be, it would be good to grasp that concept first. So anyway, just thought I'd toss it out.
Yeah, it seems to be the next place after the Red Sea is the wilderness. And of course, the cloud in the sky too, the pillar of cloud. And so, yeah. We had some good discussions though about I told him about how the Gospels are going to represent the first 3.5 years, and how the book of Acts is going to represent the Great Tribulation. And so I touched basically on those things, and he seemed intrigued about that. And but again, you know, I'm just praying that he be led by the Lord to even come to the site. I told him about all the UVM items on YouTube even. So, you know, it's basically what he's going to move him to do, you know. And that's, you know, I would like for him to come to the site, to the Tuesdays and Thursdays, you know, maybe later for the, if he was to come and just read some of the books. But I'm just happy he's reading his Bible. Yeah, so praise God, because there's a lot of difference there for him. Because from before, you know, there was no rapport at all. You know, there you would say something and they would be silent. You know, the children would be silent. They wouldn't talk anything about it. And that now he's excited about it, and he really wants more of the Lord. You know, he's balanced on how he speaks too, because he knows how much more he needs too. But he's not rejecting anything. You know, he's not getting any rejection or anything like that. So praise God. God protects the little ones, and he'll have to grow them up.
Amen.
I think they're going to grow up a lot different when they come to the Lord. It seems to me he's getting a lot of things a lot more quicker than I ever did. Of course, I had a completely different background that I had to overcome. A really crude, very strong religious background. So, which he was spared of. So at least that went right. Yeah. Praise God.
But Lord, we just pray that you would keep him away from apostate religion to pollute his spiritual mind with garbage. And we thank you for it, Father, that you would block any of that garbage from coming in the name of Jesus. That he would prove whatever the preacher's saying by the word of God. And Lord, we thank you for doing that, for being in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Romans 12:1-2 says this: I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. And be not fashioned according to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do we do that? This is not a simple question, actually. If you think and meditate on that, I think we could be here the rest of the year talking about that. Has anybody got anything that they would like to venture forth on the mind of how to renew your mind and what it means to renew your mind, and how do you renew your mind? What's a quick way to renew your mind? Okay, Claire, go ahead.
So I just have like a really small practical thing
about renewing your mind that is happening in my life right now. So it's not, I'm just sharing. So obviously I was raised in Babylon, and then just with one aspect in my life, I got really proficient at health programs, the world's health programs. And so I would be able to be very healthy following what the world dictates as sound nutrition advice. Fast forward, and I'm not so healthy anymore. And the Lord's been showing me that I've relied on him for so much, but for this one little thing in my life, I've always just used the world. Like, I don't know why. And so he led me to a source that explained what eating biblically looks like. Now, even in that source, those people put themselves under some weird laws, but I found such freedom because they basically looked at food in the Bible and explained every food group and explained why it was used and how it was used and all of this kind of stuff, and how that has renewed my mind just quickly, just in 5 days, of what it looks like to be eating physically to glorify your Father spiritually, which is something that it sounds strange. I mean, I've always considered my body a temple, but just using the incorrect source to try and glorify God by relying on this carnal knowledge, where now my mind has been renewed with a biblical understanding of food. And that is very freeing and very exciting, and yields and also just locking into the Holy Spirit and saying, I'm not going to do this on my own, separate from you. You don't expect me to. You can lead me every single step, every single food desire, every single food choice. Like, he can do that because he's everywhere. He's all powerful. And it's just been amazing, you know, that there's been so much that's been delivered and so much that's been happening. But then this one little aspect of my life, I'm only being renewed now, but I'm so grateful that I'm being renewed now, and I'm so grateful for it. That's not what you want to talk about, but that's just a practical application for how I see God renewing my mind with the mind of Christ right now, today.
Okay. Well, I can see a spiritual aspect of that as well. You know, feeding on the Word of God is a good appetite. The more you feed, the more hungry you get. You think of it this way. You know, I know from my practical experience here, my widening girth here, if you put it in a spiritual sense, the more you eat, the more you want, right? And if you slip that over into the Word, the same thing applies to it. The more you eat, the more you want. And the more you want, the more you eat. You know, and it's a continual cycle. So that's something else we can look at. Renewing your mind. Somebody else had their hand up just a minute ago. Is that Andrew? Go ahead.
You know, I think the key word there was transformed that came forward to me. And all the transformation has to be by the Lord. And even if some people want to get closer to the Word and read the Word, the Lord provides that for you. You know, some people will read intensely, and some other people will just skim it. And, you know, sometimes you can just read just a few words there and get a lot out of it. You know, I had lots of fun reading James, the two Peters and the three Johns and Jude. I went over it twice and spent a couple of weeks doing that. And it's really enlightening. It's really wonderful. It shows a lot of things there, you know. It opens up a lot to you, The Lord will manifest through you. The Lord will be there for your Bible study with him. You know, the Lord Jesus comes along. You're studying with him. He's the teacher still today. And he's closer to you than a brother is, because he lives within you, of course. And he does the transformation. He gets you ready. He makes you available. You know, it's kind of like when you're looking at Peter on the rooftop. It's all choreographed by him. You know, and sometimes you may not even think things are choreographed by him, but everything is. So everything that comes your way, and we're the most important people on this whole planet. You know, and we've got lots of blessing. Lots of blessing coming too. You know, there's that wonderful verse, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Now, for us looking at that verse and what we expect to have now, and what we can expect to pray for, and what we can expect even to still get in our studies and get in our walk with the Lord on a daily basis. So that transformation, you know, and it brought to mind 2 Corinthians 3:18, the one we love and know. You're being transformed in that too. You're we're having an unveiled face, and by looking in this mirror by faith, and we are transformed into that new image of Christ in us. So, and it's from the Lord, the Spirit. So it proves that he's the choreographer of all things. He's sovereign over all things. So praise God. That's what I got out of this. You know, it's in his hands. You're in his hand. You're in his right hand. You're there with the sheep, you know. You're there as a lamb. And he grows you up. He grows you up. And you got grace from him already, so he's ready to give you more. You have to ask, too. Got to ask for your allowance from the Lord.
Amen. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Wow. A little note I have here says, your mind is renewed to the Word of God to the degree that the Word of God dictates your daily actions. So are you walking like Jesus? And if you're not 100-fold walking like Jesus, we still need to renew our mind, don't we? How do we renew our mind? Let's go with that route. And don't say just read the word. Now, come on, we got to get a little deeper than that, Missy. I knew where you were going. Go ahead, Missy. I'll let you go.
Yeah, read the word, but not just read the word, put it into action. And
amen.
Repent every time, you know, you're aware that you're, you know, doing something that's contrary to the word, and confess the word, you know, it doesn't matter what you feel, see, hear, whatever, confess the word, and, you know, about everything. The more you're in it, the more you more you're in the word, the more you'll have it in your mind, or at least what you say agrees with the word, you know, even if you don't quote it directly, just, you know, in confessing the word, that'll renew your mind. And always just be thinking about the Lord and just always in communication, fellowship with the Lord, and it'll renew your mind. Change your mind. It's, you know, it's repentance. Repentance is change your mind, and that's renewing your mind. You know, sometimes the repentance is looked at as like, oh, I'm so, you know, oh, I got to repent again. Well, no, it's don't allow the enemy to condemn you. Renewing your mind, repenting is a good thing. You know, because the more you repent, the more you're mind is renewed. It's a good thing. The more your spiritual man is growing and your old man is dying. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Yeah, Pat.
I was thinking,
praise God.
That, unfortunately, I do that a lot, but, I was thinking more in terms of, like, I flipped something into the chat there about out of the heart, you know, comes the issues of life. And there's a lot of the scripture that talks about the heart. And I know that when we look, when we read the scripture related to the mind, I think that specific scripture in 12:1-2, renew your mind, which is kind of the aspect of the soul, that functioning of the soul. But I think there's an aspect of, you know, how do you do that? You simply don't just you simply just don't say, all right, I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to change my thinking or whatever. And I'm just not going to think that way anymore. I'm going to think this way. I'm going to think this way and out of repetition. But there has to be a engaging of the heart, which is more than just the mind. It's the whole inner portion of us, the thoughts, not only the thoughts, but the desires, our believing, our belief, what we believe, what we don't believe. So there's a whole lot more than just thoughts there. And I think that it's already been mentioned about walking it out, is that there has to be a believing of that particular word, that aspect of the word, and a willingness and a faith, trust in God to walk it out in order to obey it and walk it out and deal with the ramifications as they come to you. But all from the foundation of believing. And in that process, the thoughts will be juggled up and can be, there's always going to be a battle in the mind and whatever, but staying with what you believe and what you anchor down as truth, obviously in the Word of God, and sticking with it and walking in it and have patience to just allow yourself to go through that process, that mind, the thoughts will come into alignment with that truth that you have in your heart, that you're believing in your heart, and it will finally toe the line as you continue the battle. So I guess I'm thinking that it's more of just a, you know, a quick, well, I'm not going to think that way, I'm going to think this way type thing, but there's an aspect of grabbing onto that word. And I think it's when you are able to walk it out in your life and experience the reality of that truth, that that confidence and that conviction and confirmation is a motivator to solidify the thought life and the thoughts and the mind, shall we say, and so that it solidifies that whole process in you. And I guess that in what I see, that's the transformation of the mind. So I think it's kind of what everybody else is saying, is you have to engage the whole inner man in believing and walking the process out, also speaking in agreement with that truth, which produces that transformation. Anyway, that's all I had to say.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Yes, Marilyn.
You know, kind of goes along with what everybody else has said, but I know for me, confessing the word and praying the word in my prayer time, you know, when I'm in a really, you know, in my prayer closet with the door closed and in the presence of the Lord anyway, and kind of with a reverent, thankful attitude. And it seems like the, you know, as I confess, you know, one thing or pray, you know, one scripture or another, you know, the Holy Spirit will just bring more and more to you. And it's kind of become a daily thing for me. And I think it's really helped me a lot to kind of clean up my thought life and catch the fiery darts and the flaming arrows a lot quicker. And certainly then you know, when those things come up, you can confess the word then as well, because you've been doing it so much in your prayer time that when you're outside of the prayer closet, at least for me, it's made it easier to quickly respond in the right way.
Amen. Absolutely. Yeah, Nick. Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, I just have a prayer request. I'm going to the doctor on Monday to get all the skin taken off on my finger that was dried up on there. So I hope they have a good report from that and everything. So,
amen.
And I hope everything goes okay.
All right. Lord, fix him in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for repairing everything and getting rid of this stuff. Do it, Lord. I ask you to do it in the name of Jesus, so he doesn't have to go to the doctors. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right, Nick, you're fixed up, buddy.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Go ahead, Isaac.
Can you hear me again?
Yeah.
Right. Got to do a check one, two, check one, two. Okay. So, you know, a verse that's really blessed me, you know, because like Marilyn said, the fiery darts, you know, they come and go. And the thoughts that are not Christ-like, or when, and they can be any type of stuff, any sort of things. And something I say, and I really see it positive in my life, in that 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought to captivity to the obedience of Christ. And, you know, I got that one in my heart. And, you know, I kept saying it in my and got memorized in my mind. And then I seen it manifest in my heart. And I really mean it, because, and it's just, it is only Christ in you, you know, the hope of glory that can, I mean, who can tame a spirit of a man? Nobody besides Christ, you know. You've seen kings fall because their man nature. And I tell you what, it's been really great, because it's just been a gift. If something didn't align to the word, or it was temptation, whatever it is, just saying it and saying nope, and you keep quoting it, and over time you find out that you actually have power, and you have power through Christ to say no, I'm not going to think about it, and it's that simple. Nope, that one's gone. Nope, I ain't thinking about it. Nope, done. Don't matter whatever fiery dart, and I feel it, man. Like if it don't, it can be anything. Nope, not worth it. Nope, that's going to breed bad stuff, and I just cast them down. And you keep on moving, keep on trucking. And that's a good one, man. That's a really, really good verse. And that's something that's helped me. Obviously, I'm, still coming into that image. 100-fold is my belief. Michael, you prayed that some months ago, and I still believe it. And I tell you what, man, I believe for all of us, and I really coming into that mind of Christ. One body. Thank you.
I said amen. I didn't know I needed. Thank you, Lord. That's good, Isaac. All right, anyone else? Yes, Claire.
I know this is not related, but I have to tell you something. So there's this lady that we know, and her due date was for having her baby was on Friday. And so the doctors were pushing and pushing for an induction. You know how these people are. And on Monday, she was getting a little bit like tense and twitchy. So I said to her, what can I pray for? Let me know what I can pray for. And, I don't know her very well. And I know she's spirit-filled. And I know she wants to raise her children for the Lord. And her and her husband are equally yoked. And I'm like, well, that's enough. You know, that's where miracles happen. So Rihanna and I like got on our knees, prayed for this woman, like did all the things. And then she said to me, she texted me and she's like, I feel such a spirit of peace. And thank you for the coverall prayer. And then I didn't really want to check up on her like the next morning, because I was like, oh, you know, I don't want to be too eager. And I just kept on praying for her. And the Lord is so good. She had the faith to turn down the inductions. And she had her baby completely normally last night. And she said, awesome. She's just texted me now, because obviously she's been busy and whatnot. But she just says, like, she couldn't have asked for a better labor and birth. Now, you hear people saying you couldn't ask for a better birth, but a better labor? Like, there's power of God there. And that is so exciting. And she says it's just God's perfect timing. This baby is 4.5 kilos, which is like, I don't know what it is in pounds. It's huge. And she's precious, and it's just so amazing. And I'm so grateful that we get to pray for people. And I just want to encourage every pregnant mommy here, like, you know this already because you're on here, but we will always pray, and our prayers are always answered. And thank you, God. Like, I'm so excited.
9.9 pounds. That baby's half grown. Good gracious. My goodness. And it was easy, huh? Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for answering prayer. Amen. All right. Renewing your mind. Yep, God can do anything. I think I said this last week, but we'll say it again, about double-mindedness. True double-mindedness is being born again and not renewing your mind. That's double-mindedness. All right. Anybody else on renewing your mind? I know we kind of threw us out there and hadn't given us any of us time to look at it, but it's something I've been looking into here lately. Okay, Benita. Said, Tiana, watch out. Claire, friend, love to be a 10-pound baby. Oh, my goodness. Amen. That's right. Yes, Julie.
I lecture a little bit about that. I would think that being transformed by the renewing of your mind is coming more and more into the knowledge of the truth of Christ, that your mind is always thinking as Christ would think, and that your flesh doesn't get in the way anymore. It's the born from above thinking and reasoning. And it's just like when something would come up, whatever it is, a prayer request or a need or a circumstance or, you know, tribulation, trauma, whatever, you know, whatever you're facing, it's like the mind of Christ would take over and you would have his peace. You would have complete control of whatever was around there. You would just speak what God would have you say. And it's like, it would just be, it would be a natural part of your reaction because you are, you don't have the flesh anymore. I mean, that's what I think it is. It's just being transformed to, you know, by the renewing of your mind, is you no longer think the way you used to think. You're now thinking as Christ thinks, so that the old flesh is doesn't have any input anymore. It's like, it's just lost because the first thing that comes to your mind is the word of God. That's just my little thoughts.
That's where the word of God dictates everything you do during the day, isn't it? Yeah, Andrew.
Yeah, that's kind of like what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where it's not the ink on a paper or engraved in stone. It's written upon the hearts of flesh by the Spirit of God. So what kind of ink is this Spirit of God? What kind of tool, what kind of item writes that on your heart to make that heart circumcised? The Word of God in you, the Word of God that's going to activate, like a verse we've seen here. The living is the Word of God and active. And of course, in Him we live, move, and have our being. And the incorruptible seed, the Word of God, which liveth and abideth. So there you have it. You know, that incorruptible seed, that Word of God's got to be in the Spirit upon your heart. It's part of your life now. It's like I said before, you want your name written in the book of life. But what's this book of life? Is it some sort of ledger? The book of life, living, is the Word of God and active. He told you what the book of it. The righteous shall live by faith. You know, this book of life is this Word of God written on your heart. There you go. It's by the Spirit. You know, it's there, it's on there, it's in there. You know, oh, don't let that other guy confuse you. Don't let him to cast down these other reasonings into your head. You don't want him. He's telling you, oh, it's not there yet. Of course it is. I know it's there. The Lord provides it. He'll give it to you, and you'll write it there yourself. I don't know what kind of instrument or how this happens, that word of God gets into your heart, but you know it's there. You know of all the teachings that you've recently gotten and gleaned from UBM. Where does it go? It goes into love. Is it in your mind or in your heart? You tell me. Doesn't matter which place it's in, because both places are a disciple. Because I think a true disciple is faith that worketh love. Because it's in your heart. And you got to love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. You know, I don't know, you can think of a mother's love. And you know what is not the mama, and a father's love too. Is he going to set us wrong and not share his glory with us? Praise and glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. I'm encouraging myself here.
Amen. And us too. Amen. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Claire, go ahead.
I've been listening to David's. Oh, why would my hand go down? I've been listening to David's God's Children Are Loved Too again. And I'm just amazed that's exactly what we're talking about and what we're saying. Like, the ultimate renewing of your mind is going to be that perfection of Christ, which is love, in us. Because when everything's gone, that's all that remains. And it's so amazing that we're going to be able to love exactly as that little part of Corinthians says. We're going to bear all things. We're going to believe all things. We're going to be so humbled and so willing to love. And I really, it can only, that is the outworking of this renewal and this transformation. Mm-hmm. And it's the end goal. And it's just so, oh man, it's so beautiful for me. I love that God gives us this opportunity. I love that he extends the grace to us to be able to do this and not in our own strength. It's really big.
It is. It's big. Listen, I don't. We should all be striving for that 100-fold fruit to be on us. And just like Clara was talking about, that's the love of Christ. Like he did, he said he loved everybody. Even the ones that came against him, he loved. And when he was on the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. The demons are driving them. You know, I just kind of add a little bit there. But anyway, yeah. When we have renewed our mind, listen, this 100-fold fruit is available to every one of us. Every one of us. And to the degree that you run after that 100-fold fruit, that's where you'll be. If you run after the world, then you'll not bear the fruit that God wants you to bear. But if we run after him, search after him, I can see where everyone in here. Can I just do a little bit of postulating here? I believe this. I believe the gifts of the Spirit are for the immature. I believe we all walk in the power of the Holy Spirit at all times. And how we access it depends on how much you get, how much you utilize. You understand? If you are renewing your mind daily, if you are seeking God with all of your heart, if you're doing everything that you can do, I know that we have jobs and we have things that we have to do, but your mind can continually be stayed on Jesus. I'm talking to myself too, big time. But I am just coming to the conclusion here just in the last little bit that we all can walk, and he wants us all to walk at that hundredfold fruit. In other words, we're led by the Spirit at all times. And when we do that, all this other stuff leaves. Like David's, me and Missy was talking this afternoon, David talked about when he read and studied the Word of God, just his stuff fell off of him, didn't it? All this garbage fell off of him. Well, guess what? It's available to us as well. That all this old stuff can fall off of us. If we just read and study the Word of God and keep our minds on Him at all times. And that power, that gifts of the Spirit will be there all the time. That's what I believe. I believe the gifts of the Spirit is for those who don't walk in that mature Christ-like power. And it's not the power we seek, it's the love of Christ that we seek. Go ahead, Missy.
And it's, you know, that's a tall order. You shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, but he's the one that works in you to will and to do his good pleasure. It's all by his grace.
Yep.
You know, just ask, you know, David says, if you ain't got the want to, ask for the want to, you know, ask the Lord for everything. Ask the Lord for the grace for this. But, and what Julie put down there earlier was a verse I was thinking of, grant us according to the riches of your glory that we be strengthened with power through your Spirit into our inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, to the end that to then you be rooted and grounded in love and strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, and be filled unto all the fullness of God. Unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So if you ask for anything that comes to your mind, Lord, even put in my mind what you want me to pray, he's going to do exceedingly abundantly above all that, according to the power that works in us. That power is the Spirit of God that dwells in us. The omnipotent, powerful Spirit of God in us is the same Spirit, same powerful Spirit. I'm going to get on my soapbox again because I get excited. When I talk about this. It's the same.
Go for it.
It's the same powerful Spirit that was in Jesus. And it's in our weakness. When we are weak, we are powerful. His power is made perfect in our weakness. And our weakness is that we know we can't do it. And we walk in the Spirit. You know, our old man is dead, you know. We're dead unto sin and alive unto God. We don't live anymore, but it's Christ that lives in us. And you know, that part of I quoted there in Ephesians I always have to go through it again to get to the part where I'm thinking how it goes. And to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. And to me, what that means is to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. It's not just here, it's here. and it's in our actions that passes knowledge. It's not just, it's your actions. It's real love. It's not lip service. It's not, it's a true heart of love. You know, it's the love of Christ coming out of you. That is, to me, is what surpasses knowledge. That's what that means. So just wanted to say that. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Yeah, that was good. All right, David or Elena, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
So lately, I mean, we've had a question that I wanted to ask God, because rent prices went through the roof. And in February, our lease ends in this house. And to renew the lease, they said they could raise the rent to whatever they want if we want to renew. But to stay month to month, they said they're going to raise the price by 20%, which is an extra like $300 a month. And it seems like the only option for us at this point would be to buy a house, because mortgage is like half the price of rent right now. And financially for us, that seems like the best option. And I was asking the Lord about it. And I mean, I wasn't getting an exact answer, but God had been opening of verses in the Bible about having faith. And then he opened the part where Jesus humbled himself before the disciples and washed their feet. And I was like, well, I mean, I got confused. I was like, what does that have to do with the situation? But that was work related, because I'll be honest, and I repent of it, and I've repented of it. I haven't been trying my hardest at work. I've been trying, but I knew I could have done better. And when God showed that to me, I was like, now I know what I have to humble, why he showed me to humble myself. So after I repented and humbled myself, God blessed me so much. And these past few days, I don't think I've ever worked as hard as productive as I ever worked. And I mean, he's blessed me with the hours that I started to work. And it's been a great blessing. And the faith part I believe the fact that if it's God's will for us to get a loan for a house, that he's gonna situate the whole process to where we don't have to struggle or anything in our credit score and all that. I'm not even worried about contacting creditor, like loans and stuff like that. I'm believing and having faith for the fact that God would have it lined up, that he's gonna open up the perfect place to go, whether it's moving to a different city, getting a different job. We're still waiting on that for God to reveal that, because we're at the point where we pretty much reached the Red Sea, and we're waiting for God to split it and give us the go ahead, because we've been looking and pretty much called pointless looking, because you get your hopes up and then you realize that what if this is not from God. And but that the situation with the house, I'm having faith and giving it all to God at this point. And because my wife had a dream a long time ago that God was going to make a path for us. Yeah, you could share it if you can. She'll share the dream, and that's kind of giving me the fact that we should just give it all up to God at that point.
Yeah, so I had a dream. Pretty much I saw the house that we were living in. Like I saw it as if from like I was in the sky, like from sky view kind of. And it was all surrounded by trees as if like we were in a little clearing in a forest. And it was light, like where our house was, it was light, but then all the forests circling around us, everything was really dark. And then I saw another area a little further, kind of further away from our house, and it was a larger clearing. And I didn't see any building or anything. I just saw this clearing, and it was really bright there. And I told my husband that I want to go there. I want to go to that clearing. And he's like, well, the forest is really dangerous. We can't just go in there on our own. So we need to wait for God to clear the path for us. And that was the dream.
And that's kind of where we're at with the house. But as far with the job, they actually ended up hiring my friend from that I used to work with. He's starting next Monday. And he's a great worker because the techs we have now, I mean, constantly they're pulling me away from my jobs to help him with theirs. And that's taking time away from me. And I mean, I'm not going to tell them no. I will go and help if that helps them with their future jobs. But it would be nice to have someone who I've worked with already and knows the system. And yeah, it's great. It was awesome. And I do believe that that dream I had a long time ago about that guy, because I had a dream a long time ago that we were sitting at the table and he was asking me about God, even though he doesn't believe right now, but God will do something. And I'm sure he'll prepare me to spread his word, and that dream's still going to come to pass.
Amen. Amen. Just make sure it's God before you buy the house. I don't think you're going to be there. But anyway, I'm just saying. All right, Greg, go ahead.
Yeah. I want to pray about that, but I want to give some testimony as well just now. You know, as many of you, a few of you know, I was on struggle street for a couple of years. And anyway, I'll connect the dots here just quickly. You know, as you know, I've got work at the moment. I have a contract that expires on the 6th of December. Anyway, this week I had, I'm going to say, 2.5 other job offers. I say 2.5 because one of them was teaching English in Buenos Aires. But anyway, you know, because this contract of mine, they generally renew them, but I haven't heard a darn thing. Anyway, I heard the other day, the supervisor at work said, oh, no, we've sent an email off. We should get a letter this week. And this just a few hours ago, they asked me if, because my hours are from 9 p.m. till 2 a.m., which, by the way, some kind of suits me. But the full shift goes through till just before 5 a.m. And basically ever since I've started, bar the first day, I've done those full shifts. Plus there's been overtime. Anyway, they just said to me last night, if I'm happy to commit to being full-time during from basically here through to the end of December, there's more overtime for me as well. It's because I was wondering, what do I do with these other jobs? Because I didn't say no to them. But anyway. But and on top of all that, you know, I'm learning a language at the moment for reasons I won't go into right here and now. And I also have some passive, passive income. Well, it's kind of being reinvested back into it, but it's only $6 or so a day at the moment, but it's growing. But okay, it's just way different to what it was 3 months ago. And I'm starting to see paths and ways opening for some of the things that the Lord has spoken to me about. So I just want to pray over Dave and Alina and this house thing. This is just my thoughts on it. I'm tending to think this stuff about credit ratings and loans for houses and mortgages, which, by the way, translates to death grip, are not really for the children of God. As I say, these are my thoughts. I don't want to make any rules and stuff like that. But it's the world system. So I want to just take this up to the Lord and the Lord to sort it out. So, Father, thank you that you give us dreams and aspirations and you know the plans and intentions and the contrivances you have for us. And Lord, there are delights in some of those things that you show us. They really are. But I want to just bow to you first and say there are purposes beyond our comfort or our security. However, you build that in as well. But you have even bigger things in mind. So, Lord, for accommodation, housing for David and Alina and their children, Lord, I want to call for your provision for that. It's nice that we, they have a roof over their head. It's nice to have a roof over one's head. There's no two ways about that. And you are the provider of all. But this house, Lord, I'm going to ask that you would show off and not in any way, this is a bit I want to just say, you don't do these things. I just want to dodge the whole prosperity doctrine thing. I really do, because you do these things because you have a greater and bigger purpose beyond what we can even see. So, Lord, there's some things being unspoken now as I pray, and you know what they are. But I just want to hand those up to you. But you know our needs before we even ask. And I look forward to just hearing more delightful stories of what you're doing so that your kingdom can be expanded. Amen. I'll leave it at that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Greg and David and Lena.
Mm.
In Jesus' name. All right, anyone else? Yes, Pam.
I just had a couple thoughts about that, Alana's dream. It kind of hit me that, that she was looking at her house from up above, from that heavenly vision, heavenly realm, I guess you might say, or lifted up above the earthly. And as she looked over, at least the way I perceived it, she looked over and she saw on the other side of the darkness another lighted, bright area that she wanted to go to. And and then of course David said, well, there's a dark forest in between there, and we have to have help to get through that process, to get through there, to make that path. And I just thought of, the Lord has given us His Holy Spirit, birthed us into his kingdom, translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his light, and set our heart and our vision and our desire in heavenly places, in that perfect place of light, which is our destination, our desire, and our heart, to follow our heart to go there. But that path, he still left us here in this world, on this planet, in the midst of this kingdom of darkness. And in order to get to that place of light, and one observation that hit me when Elena was sharing that dream is that in that place of light, brightness there, there wasn't any buildings, because the home there, the place there, is a place built without hands. It's built by faith and by the light. But anyway, I was just, it hit me that there's always going to be darkness. We're never going to see the path through. It's to get to that, and it's not only as an overall life a goal thing to make it to the light, but it's also a particular place of the word. I know David and Elena are looking at a housing, dwelling issue right now. Well, there's a place of faith in God's word, a promise to them in God's word of some sort that applies to this, their situation. And it's a place of light and brightness and freedom. And it's a place that's not built with hands. It's a place of faith. And there's always going to be the unknown between here and that place. And so I would encourage David and Elena to just rest in the faith that God has given you his Holy Spirit for that very purpose, not only the power to live, but to guide us through that maze as we're trusting him in his word and bringing us into that place of light. And that place of light will be the place of clarity and confirmed faith and peace, and a place to rest. And so the observation of the darkness and the dark forest around us is only natural and normal. God always leads us right through the valley of the shadow of death, because that's where we're going to get to the light on the other side. So anyway, it was just some observations I had in that particular dream I thought was kind of neat.
Amen. All right. Anyone else got something they'd like to say? Go ahead, Geneva, Miss iPhone.
I want to thank the Lord because at work the other day I got a raise, and that's great for me and Morgan right now, and they're doing yearly raises, but I haven't been there for a year, but the Lord still blessed me to get one. And just kind of going back to just being really thankful for this job that I got, and the Lord's been blessing me with boldness here lately to I've been asking my patients and stuff if they want me to pray for them. And, you know, they're so sweet. And they'll be like, well, yeah, I'd love for you to do that. And so, you know, I grabbed the little hands and then we sat in there and we pray. And, you know, they usually always have tears in their eyes and things. And it's just sad because some of these people, you know, their families live up north, so they don't, you know, really get visitors too often. So I just feel like the Lord's been touching my heart in a special way here lately. And I've had some good conversations, you know, with them just about the Lord and stuff. And they love hearing that I'm pregnant. You know, it's crazy how joyful they get, you know, just the thought of life or whatever, you know. And it's crazy because these people, you know, like a lot of times they're on their deathbed, but they still get so happy to hear something like that. So I know it sounds terrible, but I'm just saying, like, it's a blessing to be able to be with these people at such pivotal times and get to pray with them and, you know, things. And anyways, I just want to thank Lord for that raise. Lord also did bless me with a dream last night. I'm not going to go all the way into it, but basically just about having forgiveness for my mom, because, you know, Lord's really been working in Isaac a lot. It's just totally Jesus, how patient and how just everything that God's been doing through Isaac. I'm just, you know, it spoke a lot to me, and I feel like this week I've been just kind of numb and like haven't been answering her calls and stuff because I've just been kind of upset and things with the decisions that she's making after all the sacrifices that we've made. But, you know, the Lord gave me a dream last night about forgiveness, and that, you know, I chose to forgive my mom, and I was so happy and I was so like relieved. And, you know, it was like I didn't even think about it, and I was hugging her and we were eating, and it was just a good old time. And I woke up and I was like, Lord, you know, I received that in Jesus' name. Because like Isaac said the other day, we're talking about the scripture, you know, if you don't, you can't be forgiven if you don't forgive. And, you know, I rebuke in Jesus' name, you know, any generational curses or becoming anything like my mom, in the sense of like what she's going through right now. Because the reason why she is that way, like what Isaac was saying, is because she hasn't forgave, you know. She's got a lot of unforgiveness in her heart, and over time that's just, you know, it's invited so many demons and things. And so I just thank the Lord for deliverance from that, and that I'm gonna be a great mother, and that he gave me this dream and it replenished my heart. And anyways, I feel differently about things and how I felt at the beginning of this week. So the Lord's been blessing us a lot, and I just want to thank him for what he's doing, and just for being such an awesome father.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing at Geneva and Isaac both, and Mama, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. All right. It's good sometimes to have a flesh killer around, you know. I had to work through some of myself while I was back in Arkansas. But praise God, he gives us the grace to do it, doesn't he? And the tools to bind them up. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Missy.
I see that we're getting close to the end, so I thought I'd ask, share a little something that's encouraging, and ask you all to agree in prayer with me. Last night I was listening to the Bible study as I was making dinner, and Merle heard some bits and pieces of it, but while we were eating, the most important part, which is like the last 10 minutes, of the Bible study after David got done sharing the dreams and all, if y'all listen to it, you'll know what I mean. It was really good, and it was exactly what, you know, Merle needed to hear. And I'm just sitting there eating, not looking at him And I'm just praying, Lord, thank you, Lord, for planting these seeds and speaking to Merle and using this to bring him to repentance, Lord, and just bring him out from among them. And I know that it's done. And I know that here soon I'm going to actually see it with my eyes. But I just praise you and thank you, Lord, for delivering Merle out of the power of darkness and translating him into the kingdom of the Son of your love, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for his repentance. And thank you, Lord, that he is a mighty man of God, a mighty man of valor. And I thank you, Lord, that he is free and he's growing it up in you quickly, Lord, and all these things are just falling off him, Lord. All these bondages are just gone and he's delivered from the power of the enemy. And I just praise you and thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? And does anyone, I'll tell you what I'd like to do. I'd like to continue this discussion on the mind of Christ, renewing the mind for, what is today? Thursday, next Tuesday. So if y'all would, look into that and let's share a little bit more on renewing the mind. Having the mind of Christ, walking like Jesus, what it means, how to do it, and is it an easy job, a hard job, you know, just, all right, anybody got anything else they'd like to, comment on or talk about before we get out of here? Oh, okay, Missy. Thank you.
Merle and I are going to my family's this weekend, Lord willing. And I just wanted to pray for that. My sister's having everybody over for an Italian dinner. Everybody's supposed to bring an Italian dish or whatever. So, Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this gathering with my family, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that Matt and Megan would come and that they would, so that everybody can see the baby, ones that haven't seen him yet. And Lord, just put them at rest, knowing that it doesn't matter if he has to be fed in the middle there, that Megan can go in another room and feed him. And I just ask you for the peace of God in everyone's heart. And I just command all factious, divisive spirits, religious spirits. I just command every spirit out of our midst and peace and joy and love in everybody's heart. And that we just have a good time, Lord, and open the doors, Lord, to show your love and speak whatever's supposed to be spoken, you know, anything of you, Lord. And I just ask you in particular that you make us all sensitive to just sharing you and being at peace with each other and no contention and strife and being weak to the weak and loving each other, Lord, and that everybody feel comfortable, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that Brett would bring his children too, Lord. And I just thank you and I praise you for this time with my family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We believe it with you. Bind them all in spirit self. It's going to be love, nothing but love and happiness and joy, peace. Mm-hmm. And out throughout that, this family, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I ask you for traveling nurses there and back, Lord. No friend of vendors, no good gas mileage, just everything smooth and easy, no backups. Just a quick trip there and a quick trip back and no hiccups. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, and good weather. No rain. No rain. Amen. Yes. Amen. Or snow, because they're calling for that horrible word that Michael doesn't like.
Well, I like it for about 8 hours.
I don't like it to drive in, but.
No. Go ahead, Claire.
I'd like to pray for Megan.
Okay.
Lord, if you could give this sweet new mommy more confidence, Father, if you could just lift her up and give her more confidence with breastfeeding, that'd be such a testimony of your grace and mercy, Father. And if you could work it into their hearts, Lord, for Matt and Megan to know that breastfeeding is the perfect food for that child. And that there can be nothing that hinders it because it's ordained. You designed the body that way. Father, I just pray that she would have a growing confidence in breastfeeding and that she'd be comfortable to breastfeed anywhere and everywhere. And that she'd be able to do it easily without pressure and the baby wouldn't squawk too much before the time and get her antsy. Because that is sometimes the only thing that stresses a mummy out is she can't get that milk to that baby quick enough. So Father, I just pray for grace above all things for this precious couple and their child, that you would make a way for this to work, Lord, because it will be a testimony to you. I am pretty certain that Megan would know that it's nothing out of her own strength. And that it's just one of your blessings, many, many blessings on her life. Thank you, Lord. And then if you could all just agree with me that that my refuse, garbage bins, whatever they are fine. I've just been audited outside. I've got no idea what goes on in my garbage bins. Rian puts the stuff out. The kids sometimes throw some stuff out. They've just checked the recycling bin. Apparently there's a fine that's involved. So I just pray that the people are blinded to anything that is wrong in the recycling bin. And I pray that anything that is in there can indeed be recycled. And Father, I just pray your grace and mercy over this because it's not something that I don't keep tabs on refuge, Lord. That's not my job. And neither is it Rian's. We are children of the living, not of the dead. So thank you, Lord, for protecting our family from any audits in Jesus' name.
Do y'all have garbage police down there?
We do now, Michael. We do now.
Really?
They don't, you know, in Tasmania, they don't really do a lot of recycling anyway. Like, this is the garbage dump of Australia. So I don't know why it's a big problem now, but.
Well, you know, I understand that the United States is fixing to use Australia for their garbage dump. Yeah.
But makes anyway. Sense.
Well, okay, well. Lord, we just thank you for another good evening. And Lord, place it in our hearts to seek out your word for this subject that's dear to our hearts. It should be dear to our hearts. And, Father, I just thank you for all the prayers that were sent up to you. And I know they're all are being answered even as we speak. And I thank you, Lord, for changing the landlord's mind for David and Lena that would allow them to rent just like they have been. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we just thank you for everybody that shared tonight. Bless them.
bless everybody here with a good night's sleep tonight. For those who are fixing to go to bed, those who will go to bed eventually. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father, for blessing those that are at work, that they get through work in a fine fashion today. In Jesus' name, bless Nick as he goes to the doctor and gets whatever it is got to be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all be blessed. You hear? Well, go ahead, Greg. I didn't see your hand up.
That's right. I just put it up. I was going to, sorry, there was Claire and Rianne thought I was being funny in the chat. And of course, I wasn't. Sorry. What I was meaning, in 1788, sorry, you're talking about the US using Australia as a rubbish dump. And I said the British already did in 1788 when they sent the first fleet of convicts out, which were the first white Australians, which were chosen by some of the best judges in the world, so the line goes. But a commentator I actually have referred the book, and I think you may have read it, may have even read it, Claire and Orient, talked about how we, this country, this land, was used as a rubbish dump for England. And he equated it to the Granny Smith apple. I might have told this story before, but the Granny Smith apple came about by, there was a woman named, I think, Mary Smith in Sydney in the 1800s, a midwife. And she, you know, brought a lot of children into the world. But she, you know, she used to buy a barrel of crab apples for her, you know, to feed her family. Anyway, one particular barrel, you know, got rotten, and she chucked it in the rubbish heap down the back of the property, which is what people had back then. And a tree grew up, and this tree sprouted apples, but they never ripened. They just stayed green. And that's how the Granny Smith apple came about. And she is quoted as saying, "Isn't it just like God?" And this commentator referred it to, like Australia being used as a rubbish dump. "Isn't it just like God? The very thing we throw away, he chooses to bring in a new thing."
Amen.
There you go. So bring your rubbish.
Oh, rubbish. Amen. That's where the granny apple came from, huh?
That's how it came about. That's how the Granny Smith apple came about. You know, she wasn't remembered for the children she brought in the world, but this tree that grew out of a rubbish heap out the back.
Amen. Well, that's one you can always depend on, the granny apple, to taste good.
Yep.
All right.
Best for making apple pies.
Yes, it is. Glory to God. Like him, apple pie.
Yeah, but all apple pie is American.
Huh?
Yeah, we supply the apples.
Apple pie is American.
Oh, okay.
Apple pie.
Baseball, apple pie, and popcorn. All right, good night, y'all.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, Chevrolet.
Hey, everybody.
God bless everybody.
God bless everybody.
Turn the recording off.
Hey, you guys.
God bless everybody.